This is the reading for May 2nd, Psalm 122. I was happy when they said to me, "Let's go to the temple of the Lord." Jerusalem, we are standing at your gates. Jerusalem is built as a city with the buildings close together. The tribes go up there, the tribes who belong to the Lord. It is the rule in Israel to praise the Lord at Jerusalem. There the descendants of David set their thrones to judge the people. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. May those who love her be safe. May there be peace within her walls and safety within her strong towers. To help my relatives and friends, I say, let Jerusalem have peace. For the sake of the temple of the Lord our God, I wish good for her. 1 Samuel chapter 5. After the Philistines had captured the Ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. They carried it into Dagon's temple and put it next to Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next morning, they found that Dagon had fallen on his face on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. So they put Dagon back in his place. The next morning when they rose, they again found Dagon fallen on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. His head and hands had broken off and were lying in the doorway. Only his body was still in one piece. So, even today, Dagon's priests and others who enter his temple at Ashdod refuse to step on the door sill. The Lord was hard on the people of Ashdod and their neighbors. He caused them to suffer and gave them growths on their skin. When the people of Ashdod saw what was happening, they said, "The Ark of the God of Israel can't stay with us. God is punishing us and Dagon, our God." The people of Ashdod called all five Philistine kings together and asked them, "What should we do with the Ark of the God of Israel?" The rulers answered, "Move the Ark of the God of Israel to Gath." So the Philistines moved it to Gath. But after they moved it to Gath, there was a great panic. The Lord was hard on that city also, and he gave both old and young people in Gath growths on their skin. Then the Philistines sent the Ark of God to Ekron. But when it came into Ekron, the people of Ekron yelled, "Why are you bringing the Ark of the God of Israel to our city? Do you want to kill us and our people?" So they called all the kings of the Philistines together and said, "Send the Ark of the God of Israel back to its place before it kills us and our people." All the people in the city were struck with terror because God was so hard on them there. The people who did not die were troubled with growths on their skin. So the people of Ekron cried loudly to heaven. 1 Samuel chapter 6. The Philistines kept the Ark of God in their land 7 months. Then they called for their priests and magicians and said, "What should we do with the Ark of the Lord? Tell us how to send it back home." The priests and magicians answered, "If you send back the Ark of the God of Israel, don't send it back empty. You must give a penalty offering. If you are then healed, you will know that it was because of the Ark that you had such trouble." The Philistines asked, "What kind of penalty offering should we send to Israel's God?" They answered, "Make 5 gold models of the growths on your skin and 5 gold models of rats. The number of models must match the number of Philistine kings, because the same sickness has come on you and your kings. Make models of the growths and the rats that are ruining the country and give honor to Israel's God. Then maybe he will stop being so hard on you, your gods, and your land. Don't be stubborn like the king of Egypt and the Egyptians." After God punished them terribly, they let the Israelites leave Egypt. "You must build a new cart and get 2 cows that have just had calves. These must be cows that have never had yokes on their necks. Hitch the cows to the cart and take the calves home away from their mothers. Put the Ark of the Lord on the cart and the gold models for the penalty offering in a box beside the Ark. Then send the cart straight on its way. Watch the cart. If it goes toward Beth Shemesh and Israel's own land, the Lord has given us this great sickness. But if it doesn't, we will know that Israel's God has not punished us. Our sickness just happened by chance." The Philistines did what the priests and magicians said. They took 2 cows that had just had calves and hitched them to the cart, but they kept their calves at home. They put the Ark of the Lord and the box with the gold rats and models of growths on the cart. Then the cows went straight toward Beth Shemesh. They stayed on the road, mooing all the way, and did not turn right or left. The Philistine kings followed the cows as far as the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were harvesting their wheat in the valley. When they looked up and saw the Ark of the Lord, they were very happy. The cart came to the field belonging to Joshua of Beth Shemesh and stopped near a large rock. The people of Beth Shemesh chopped up the wood of the cart. Then they sacrificed the cows as burnt offerings to the Lord. The Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the box that had the gold models, and they put both on the large rock. That day the people of Beth Shemesh offered whole burnt offerings and made sacrifices to the Lord. After the five Philistine kings saw this, they went back to Ekron the same day. The Philistines had sent these gold models of the groves as penalty offerings to the Lord. They sent one model for each Philistine town, Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. And the Philistines also sent gold models of rats. The number of rats matched the number of towns belonging to the Philistine kings, including both strong, walled cities and country villages. The large rock on which they put the Ark of the Lord is still there in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh. But some of the men of Beth Shemesh looked into the Ark of the Lord, so God killed 70 of them. The people of Beth Shemesh cried because the Lord had struck them down. They said, "Who can stand before the Lord, this holy God? Whom will he strike next?" Then they sent messengers to the people of Kiriath-Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have brought back the Ark of the Lord. Come down and take it to your city."
The Book of Luke, Chapter 22.
The festival of unleavened bread called Passover was near. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for some way to kill Jesus. However, they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 apostles. Judas went to the chief priests and the temple guards and discussed with them how he could betray Jesus. They were pleased and agreed to give him some money. So Judas promised to do it. He kept looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus to them when there was no crowd. The day came during the festival of unleavened bread when the Passover lamb had to be killed. Jesus sent Peter and John and told them, "Go prepare the Passover lamb for us to eat." They asked him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" He told them, "Go into the city, and you will meet a man carrying a jug of water. Follow him into the house he enters. Tell the owner of the house that the teacher asks, 'Where is the room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He will take you upstairs and show you a large furnished room. Get things ready there." The disciples left. They found everything as Jesus had told them and prepared the Passover. When it was time to eat the Passover meal, Jesus and the apostles were at the table. Jesus said to them, "I've had a deep desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I can guarantee that I won't eat it again until it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup and spoke a prayer of thanksgiving. He said, "Take this and share it. I can guarantee that from now on I won't drink this wine until the kingdom of God comes." Then Jesus took bread and spoke a prayer of thanksgiving. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "This is my body, which is given up for you. Do this to remember me." When supper was over, he did the same with the cup. He said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new promise made with my blood. The hand of the one who will betray me is with me on the table. The Son of Man is going to die the way it has been planned for him, but how horrible it will be for that person who betrays him." So they began to discuss with each other who could do such a thing. Then a quarrel broke out among the disciples. They argued about who should be considered the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of nations have power over their people, and those in authority call themselves friends of the people. But you're not going to be that way. Rather, the greatest among you must be like the youngest, and your leader must be like a servant. Who's the greatest, the person who sits at the table or the servant? Isn't it really the person who sits at the table? But I'm among you as a servant. You have stood by me in the troubles that have tested me. So as my Father has given me a kingdom, I'm giving it to you. You will eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. You will also sit on thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel." Then the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to have you apostles for himself. He wants to separate you from me as a farmer separates wheat from husks. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. So when you recover, strengthen the other disciples." But Peter said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go to prison with you and to die with you." Jesus replied, "Peter, I can guarantee that the rooster won't crow tonight until you say 3 times that you don't know me." Then Jesus said to them, "When I sent you out without a wallet, traveling bag, or sandals, you didn't lack anything, did you? Not a thing, they answered. Then he said to them, But now the person who has a wallet and a traveling bag should take them along. The person who doesn't have a sword should sell his coat and buy one. I can guarantee that the scripture passage which says, He was counted with criminals must find its fulfillment in me. Indeed, whatever is written about me will come true. The disciples said, Lord, look, here are two swords. Then Jesus said to them, That's enough. Jesus went out of the city to the Mount of Olives, as he usually did. His disciples followed him. When he arrived, he said to them, Pray that you won't be tempted. Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, Father, if it is your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, your will must be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. So he prayed very hard in anguish. His sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. When Jesus ended his prayer, he got up and went to the disciples. He found them asleep and overcome with sadness. He said to them, Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you won't be tempted. While he was still speaking to the disciples, a crowd arrived. The man called Judas, one of the 12 apostles, was leading them. He came close to Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him, Judas, do you intend to betray the Son of Man with a kiss? The men who were with Jesus saw what was going to happen, so they asked him, Lord, should we use our swords to fight? One of the disciples cut off the right ear of the chief priest's servant, but Jesus said, Stop! That's enough of this! Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, temple guards, and leaders who had come for him, Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a criminal? I was with you in the temple courtyard every day and you didn't try to arrest me, but this is your time when darkness rules. So they arrested Jesus and led him away to the chief priest's house. Peter followed at a distance. Some men had lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard. As they sat together, Peter sat among them. A female servant saw him as he sat facing the glow of the fire. She stared at him and said, This man was with Jesus. But Peter denied it by saying, I don't know him, woman. A little later, someone else saw Peter and said, You are one of them. But Peter said, Not me. About an hour later, another person insisted, It's obvious that this man was with him. He's a Galilean. But Peter said, I don't know what you're talking about. Just then, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. Then the Lord turned and looked directly at Peter. Peter remembered what the Lord had said, Before a rooster crows today, you will say three times that you don't know me. Then Peter went outside and cried bitterly. The men who were guarding Jesus made fun of him as they beat him. They blindfolded him and said to him, Tell us who hit you. They also insulted him in many other ways. In the morning, the council of the people's leaders, the chief priests, and the scribes gathered together. They brought Jesus in front of their highest court and asked him, Tell us, are you the Messiah? Jesus said to them, If I tell you, you won't believe me, and if I ask you, you won't answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be in the highest position in heaven. Then all of them said, So you're the Son of God? Jesus answered them, You're right to say that I am. Then they said, Why do we need any more testimony? We've heard him say it ourselves.